Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues deals with issues and confronts them from a biblical perspective. Let me remind us, this is a listener participation program. You, our listener, invited each day to join in the dialogue and the discussion. You can do so each day by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That gets you directly to me that we can communicate. You have other questions or you have statements in relationship to the discussion of the day, we invite you to join. Or you may have a altogether different question dealing with a totally different issue. By the way, we're open to any issues or discussion. Biblical questions. I find multitudes of Christians today are just pent up with major, major questions. Questions about biblical texts, questions about theology and doctrine, questions about what denominations believe, preach, and teach, and where we stand on that biblically. Open to any of the questions like that. In fact, my favorite approach to dialogue and discussion is question and answer, especially dealing with biblical truth, theological, doctrinal truth. But we also deal with any issue such as the church or the government or the home. And so therefore, we are openly inviting you to join in each day. As we do, we face these issues with the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, speaking of the Scripture, "Thy Word is truth." God's Word is truth. It's not a source of truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is the centrality of truth. It is truth. Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of the next few days before us, we're going to be talking about a number of vital issues and questions. Some of those will be the collision of two worldviews. We're dealing in a society today that some are looking at life from a worldview and others from a totally different worldview. I believe it'll be an interesting discussion, and you may want to participate in that when that rolls around. We're going to be dealing with today political correctness gone wild. Political correctness gone wild. Later, we'll be dealing with, sometimes this week or next, dancing in the church. Where do you find it in the Scripture? Perhaps you do that. Perhaps you have been taught that. Perhaps you believe that is correct. Perhaps you have the training in the background of the teaching that as we writhe around, W-R-I-T-H-E, that's to jump and turn and come back down on your feet, as you do so with hands held high, and you spend 30 to 45 minutes in a service dancing before the Lord, that you're honoring Him in the Word. Does the Bible really teach dancing in church? There's some colleges and universities that have entire programs of study on dancing in the church. We'll be talking about also some of the things that's taking place in Jacksonville with the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance, as it is called. We'll be also looking at the question, is Islam really peaceful? We're being told that from the politically correct crowd. We also want to discuss an issue that's recently come up on a national scale because of some things taking place on the West Coast with churches being taxed. So the question is, should God's church be subject to governmental taxation? Should God's church be subject to governmental taxation? But today we're going to be talking about political correctness gone awry. Before we enter into that dialogue and the discussion, I want to remind us we need to pray for the families in California in the Napa Valley fires. I believe some 15 or 20 people have already died in the fires. Some 1,500 plus homes and businesses and buildings have been burned and destroyed. Pray for the families of the loss of all that they've accumulated. Pray for the families that have lost loved ones. By the way, one of the interesting, heartwarming aspects of this horrible, tragic event, these events that are taking place with the fires in California. It was on the morning news. I picked it up on late afternoon yesterday, internet news. A 100-year-old man and his wife, 98 years of age, they were burned in their home. They did not have time to get out. Awakened in the middle of the night with the crackling sound of their home burning down around them. They could not get out. They died holding hands. They'd been married for 75 years, and their bodies were found still hands clasped as they died holding hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know their relationship to the Lord, but what better scene can you see than a husband and wife having spent 75 years of life together and then die together? Someone said this morning, I believe it was a son, that said that neither of them would have been able to survive and go forward in life had the other died in the fire. So he said, this was the son of the couple, he said they died appropriately together as they had lived. But ladies and gentlemen, continue to pray for that tragic situation in California. Pray for those that have lost family members and loved ones and their total belongings. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost our bearings in America. I believe we've lost our bearings. In fact, as one person put it on an occasion, said, I believe we've lost our freaking minds in our nation. The left, what I call the left liberal lunatics, all want to divide us based on race, based on ethnicity, based on some divisive tool that's used today to divide our people. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're divided as a nation, we can fall very easily. One of the things that the anarchists want to do, one of the things that the Marxists, the Leninists, socialists, communists want to do in America is to tear down the unity of our citizens. There is a push in this destruction with the political correctness gone wild. There's a push to destroy history, some by removing landmarks and statues, and others by changing street signs and renaming streets, etc. Some by wanting to destroy the names of in the public arena of our founding fathers and our past presidents, and the American founders. The left wing thinking has now moved to things just as simple as a street sign. A street sign. Let me just read you an article that I find so egregious. Resident Sioux City of Hollywood over proposed street renaming. Dateline is Hollywood. A lawsuit has been filed by city residents against the city of Hollywood to reverse the actions underway to rename certain streets in their city. The lawsuit seeks to stop the planned renaming of Lee, Forest, and Hood streets in the city, a move that was demanded by Black Lives Matter and other leftist groups. You see, if you have Lee Street, Forest Street, and Hood Street, names of founders and of our forefathers in history. I'm looking at the article with a picture of the sign, the green street sign, and because Robert E. Lee today is supposed to be a very egregious term, a very egregious name, and supposedly it is because of something of his past in his life that now is egregious. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, any of our founding fathers, any of those that signed our Declaration of Independence, any of those that were our past presidents and the past leaders that we have statues all around the nation in recognition of, they were not perfect people. They were not super saints at all. Their statues and their name recognition is not because they were super saints and are perfect people, but because of what they had done in America and for America. I am concerned about where we're going, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I understand in the biblical text, in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, it tells us that perilous times shall come. And that word perilous simply means dark, dangerous, destructive. And we're living in those days. I understand that. And I pray that you do. As Christians, we ought to understand and recognize the dark day in which we live. And it should force us, it should cause us, it should motivate us to be salt and light, as the Lord Jesus Christ commanded that we be in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 15 and following, in that unit of thought. May I remind us, what is behind this? We need to ask the question, what's behind this political correctness? I believe we must realize that although we live in the United States of America, we really have a divided nation. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that didn't happen just simply by itself. That was promulgated by the Obama administration for 8 years, and his game plan, his goal, was to divide, and if you can divide, you can conquer. And I believe, based on the absolute historic record, that is the root fundamental cause of what's happening today. It is the cause that we see today that's bringing about this political correctness that's gone wild. We have the sodomite movement. We have the politically correct politicians that are bowing and kissing the boots, if you will, of the sodomite movement, of the Black Lives movement. And I could go on and on and on. We're going to talk about several of these today in our dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about political correctness gone wild. You can call and join in this dialogue and discussion, ask your questions or ask a different question. Let's focus in a different direction if you like. This is your program. It's designed for you, our listeners, to be able to participate and be participants in what is said and done on this broadcast. Let's just look at a few of these issues. There are many, many multitudes. In fact, if time would allow, we could talk for the next 2 hours on political correctness gone wild and deal with the issues one at a time and the fundamental cause of these issues. But I want to talk about just a few of these events that point to this political correctness that's gone wild. Here's an article that absolutely staggers my imagination. Here's one that says, Catholic Church removes Jesus statues to be more inclusive. The parents of students at a Catholic school in San Francisco Bay, in the San Francisco Bay area, are protesting the board's decision to remove and relocate more than 160 statues of Jesus, Mary, and historic church figures from the campus in an effort to make the school more inclusive. Do you hear that? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not condoning some of the theology that's taught in Roman Catholicism. But if you're a Catholic church and someone comes to place their child in that church, they must understand and recognize that it's going to be from a religious perspective. But here's a Catholic school that's decided to be politically correct, and they're literally compromising. Ladies and gentlemen, compromise is the most dangerous, destructive aspect in a religious person, a Christian person's life. We're not to compromise with the world. We're not to bow to the world's scenario and the world's standards. We're to be above the world's standards. We're to be beyond the world's standards. But there's compromise that's taking place. May I remind us also one of the things that I find egregious in relationship to what is taking place today and what is happening in our society comes as a result of this compromise, and it's a political correctness. This Catholic school removing the statues of Jesus to be more inclusive. Ladies and gentlemen, that's compromise, and God warns us against compromise. That is political correctness. Then you find the NFL players taking a knee to the national anthem. I don't know if I should even enter this discussion. I just absolutely am bent out of shape. I believe we have something like 32, either 36, I've heard two different numbers, of the leagues, are the teams, are the players of the National Football League. But now the commissioner has finally decided he's going to do something. He's finally decided that he's going to take a stand and say something. Let me just read you a little brief blurb here. It says, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on Tuesday wrote a letter to all 32 league owners regarding the protests that have taken place during the national anthem. And it goes on to talk about, like many of us, we believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem. This is what Goodell wrote in his letter. And I quote, like many of our fans, we believe that everyone should take a stand, should stand for the national anthem. It's an important moment in our game, Goodell wrote. We want to honor our flag and our country, and our fans expect us to do so. We also care deeply about our players and respect their opinions and concerns about critical social issues. Ladies and gentlemen, after Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee, and what the political media has not discussed or even said on national television is that he's a rank Marxist. He hates police officers, wears socks that has police officers dressed as pigs. And as a result of that, it has spread through the total NFL. And as a result of that, the philosophy is now that, well, they have a right to free speech. Yes, they do. And absolutely, off the game, off the team, off the playing field, you can object to anything and protest against anything in the world that you want to do. But not on the dime, if you please, of the team owners. And that's what's taking place. The team owners have not had the backbone of the guts, even though in their guidebook it says, and I quote, players are expected to stand during the national anthem with their hand over their heart at attention, watching the flag and listening to the national anthem. But it's not being enforced. Yet, when Tim Tebow wanted to take a knee and bow in thanking God for victory on the field, he was told by the team owners that he couldn't do that. That's political correctness gone awry, ladies and gentlemen. And we're seeing that. We're watching that in different facets and different areas of society and what is taking place. Here's an article that says, Black Lives Matter protest shuts down American Civil Liberties Union, that is the ACLU, event on free speech last week at William & Mary College after swarming the stage and shouting, liberalism is white supremacy, and ACLU, you protect Hitler too. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to express myself on that. That is, first of all, it's stupid, it's dumb, it's ignorant, and it's absolute anarchy in the face of our nation. You've heard me in a previous broadcast dealing with the Black Lives Matter. The three co-founders are simply socialist Marxists that are wanting to destroy our nation, and they're attempting to do so on a premise that they, Black Lives Matter, started to object to police brutality, etc. No, not on your life. The designed purpose is to divide and to destroy the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, it's political correctness that's gone wild, and the politicians that don't have a spine and a backbone to stand and correct it. Let me tell you, if when this takes place and they're out there burning property, breaking windows and destroying, lock them up and throw the key away. It wouldn't take 60 days to stop this political correctness that's gone wild in that realm. May I remind us, we're watching the very fabric of our nation being destroyed. Just as when the NFL players refused to stand at attention and listen as the national anthem is played, that taking a knee at the national anthem dishonors our flag, it dishonors our Constitution, it dishonors our founding fathers, it dishonors our vets and all of those that sacrificed their lives for our nation. We're watching the fabric of our nation literally crumble and fall apart. Here's an article that if it wasn't so funny, it wasn't so laughable, it would be dead serious. Or if it wasn't so serious, it'd be laughable, should I say. Title of the article, Detroit firefighter, fired for bringing a watermelon to the station. Yes, you heard me right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. Ask your question. Speak your objection and or a direction that you have and a philosophy that you have on this. 904-401-1413. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. I'm Dr. Youngblood. It's my joy each day to discuss these issues in an open forum approach that you can join in. The Detroit firefighter fired for bringing watermelon to the station. Here's the article. Earlier this month, 41-year-old Robert Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, went to introduce himself to his fellow firefighters at Engine 55 at Joy and Southfield Drive in Detroit. 2nd Battalion Chief Sean McCartney calls it a tradition for firefighters. It's not mandatory. This is a quote now from McCartney. It's not mandatory. It's voluntary, he says. You come in bearing gifts. The usual gift is donuts, but you're allowed to bring whatever you want to bring in. By the way, now this is a relative new firefighter. He's been hired. He's on the job, and he is on his 1 year, if you please, probationary period. And he comes in to meet the other firefighters at Station 55. Notice the article here says, and Patterson, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, a probationary firefighter decided to bring a watermelon wrapped in a pink ribbon. We're told some African-American firefighters were instantly offended, since 91% of those at that engine company are black men. Ladies and gentlemen, since when did a watermelon become an ethnic derision? I love watermelon. I was born up in the country. Some of the best watermelon you can eat is while they're hot out of the field. Pop them open and eat the watermelon. That gives you a little insight of my country boy background. I've gone to event after event after event down through the years. I've thought nothing about taking a wonderful watermelon. My wife likes them after they've been chilled in the refrigerator overnight, taking a watermelon. And this man just brought a watermelon as his introductory gift to the firefighters. Now, it is my prayer that he will file the biggest, baddest suit through his union that can be filed. Fox 2 in that city spoke to Patterson, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, by phone, who claimed it was not a joke, and he did not mean to offend any of his fellow firefighters. But he clearly did, according to the fire commissioner, Eric Jones, who says that he should be officially discharged. Therefore, they summarily fired the firefighter. Man lost his job just because of bringing a gift of a watermelon to be enjoyed by his fellow firefighters. I find that's egregious. It's sad that we've devolved to that position in our nation. One of the things that we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the scriptural text in relationship to the last days. We're living in the last of the last days. We're seeing divisiveness. We're seeing destruction of our heritage. We're seeing the attempt to destroy the Confederacy and its history. We're seeing an attempt to destroy Christopher Columbus Day, where they call it Indigenous Peoples Day. Do you realize that in Puerto Rico, where it's not just been decimated, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christopher Columbus statues. With what that man did, versus what now he is being accused of. And across the nation, we're bowing to that political correctness that's gone wild. We're absolutely destroying ourselves with that. And here's the FBI report now. I say report an article about it. Some of you might get uptight with this. I pray that you hear it with the right ear. FBI cites black extremists as the new domestic terrorist threat in America. Black Lives Matters shouting down the ACLU. The 2014 shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri has spawned a violent domestic threat from Black Lives Matter extremists who have stepped up their attacks on police. This is, and it's a five-page article of what the FBI is now saying about the Black Lives Matter terrorist group. They are a terrorist group. They're trying to destroy our nation. They're against police. They're against authority. They're against anything that would be politically proper in relationship to the seamless approach to our nation and not have racial division and tearing down and destroying our nation. An attack, ladies and gentlemen, an attack on our national heritage and our history is taking place. Racial division and destruction by Black Lives Matter. A rush to destroy the statues and part of American history being wiped out with it. Free speech at colleges and universities and campuses are being shut down due to the rejection of what is being said in a matter of free speech. Prayer and Bible is removed from the public arena. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I save that for just about last, because we find we must ask the question, what is the problem? Where did we go awry? What has taken place? What brought us to the low point that we're at today of divisiveness, and distortion of truth and destruction of American heritage. It goes back to prayer and Bible being removed. Here's an article that I find fascinating. The proof that prayer never meant to be excluded from government. George Washington knelt in prayer. Chief Justice Warren Earl Burger wrote in Marsh versus Chambers in 1982, quote, "It can hardly be thought that in the same week the members of First Congress voted to appoint and pay a chaplain for each house and also voted to approve the draft of the First Amendment that they intended to forbid what they had just declared acceptable. That is prayer. The same week Congress approved the First Amendment, they requested President George Washington to declare the first national day of thanksgiving and prayer before Almighty God on October the 3rd, 1789. The First Amendment, together with the first 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights, were passed in the first session of Congress, which was meeting in New York City. These amendments were intended to be handcuffs or limitations on the powers of the new federal government. And part of that Bill of Rights gave us the freedom of speech and the liberties that we have today. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us one of the things that we need to do and understand our time's about gone. Let me read a few verses of Scripture. Scripture says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that we need to recognize today is that we cannot place our trust and our confidence in ourselves, leaning not on our own understanding. We must place our total commitment and trust and confidence in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. That's the control. That's the control in our lives, acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's my prayer today that you've listened with care, that you've made the determination that from this point forward, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge him and allow him to direct my path. That's the only hope that we have, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that you've been blessed by this program today, and I look forward to you joining in, and we'll meet together on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues, and God bless you today.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening at 9:30 p.m. on 1600 AM and 100.3 FM stations. Tune in and invite others to listen.